The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt in the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello and welcome to the show. Right, tonight we are joined by Natalie, a listener who had some very spooky experiences. Again, if you've had any strange experiences in your life, seen something strange in the sky or in the woods or a ghost, and you want to share it on the show, contact us at supernaturalpod@gmail.com. You can either come on in person or write it down. Either way, we look forward to your stories. Right, here's Natalie talking about the strange house she grew up in.
So, I mean, it is in the Doomsday Book, something I've not researched myself, but I've been told by, you know, the owners and everything. And it's just a really old fashioned sort of traditional double fronted English heritage property. I think it's grade one listed. We moved in. I lived there from when I was about eight to about 12 or 13. And it was called Newton Hall, and it was built, must have been maybe the 1600s. And there's an equestrian centre, you know, like a horse riding place, that's built onto it, which is named after the house. So, like, we had horses, and then we had a pony at the time and kept her there. And my mum sort of worked there, and we didn't have very much money. So the lady who owned the whole place said, well, you know, my mum's ill, she's in a hospice, so if you want to move into the house, pay me like just a little bit of rent, you know, you can have it until she passes away, and we'll have to sell the house. And so, yeah, we were in it a good few years. But I remember the first time I went into it, and I was only a young girl, but it's just beautiful. I mean, falling apart, there's cracks everywhere, wonky floors, taxidermy all over the walls. Nice. There was a big pantry, which is like bigger than my living room now. Like, it was massive, full of food dated from before the war. I mean, I think she was a bit of a hoarder. And there was a room at the back, which my dad had his dad had it as his music studio. And when we opened the door, it was just full of like wool, just floor to ceiling, just like there was just stuff everywhere. And there was a big gallery landing, so you know you could look down and see the hallway. And there was a third floor which wasn't accessible because the staircase was falling down. So we never really went up there. My dad sort of, we got a ladder and poked his head up one day, and I think there was furniture and things. But yeah, just really old, oldy worldy. And we loved it. It was great as kids, but yeah, really spooky. So yeah, so it was three floors. There was no basement, like nothing underground. But yeah, the third floor was just abandoned because the staircase was just crumbling. So, but yeah, my dad put his head up there one day. I think he got on a ladder and had a look around, and he said there was lots of furniture. And he like dresses with things on them, you know, like furnished. But we never went, we never really ventured up there. It's quite dangerous. But yeah, it was gorgeous, gorgeous house.
Must've been quite freaky though for, like an old, for a young child. I mean, what you're saying, you were sort of around, how old was you?
So I think I was eight when we moved in. But the thing is, we'd always lived in old properties, really, because my mum has a thing for period properties. So it wasn't sort of unusual for me, and I loved it. And I still, to this day, I love old buildings and period properties, my favourite. But it was really spooky. And me and my sister, you know, obviously it was massive. We had our own bedrooms, but we always sort of slept together and stuff because we were just so freaked out all the time. But yeah, stunning, stunning place.
Yeah, I must admit.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was no central heating, just open fires. So, you know, really hard to heat, but so cold all the time. but yeah, we loved it. And no double glazing, nothing like that. You know, the old windows with the lead in them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where was the property? Just so people could.
So it's in. It was in County Suffolk, in England, and it was a place called Swilland.
Right.
So yeah, really remote.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, obviously Suffolk is the east side of England, and it's sort of just above the mouth of the Thames, a little bit further up, just above Essex, for those of you who don't know. If you want to Google it, that's where it is.
Better than Essex.
It's a lot better than Essex. It's not difficult, though, is it? No, let's be honest.
This conversation the other night.
We did, yeah.
So do you want to lead us into the first thing that sort of happened, and then, go
yeah,
from there.
So I mean, there were several things, and I can't quite remember the order, to be honest. So I'll start with probably the biggest one, which so it was, we have like all our family gets together on Christmas, so it's Christmas Eve, and my oldest sister Karina, who must have been probably about 20 at the time. She was upstairs and we were all downstairs, and I think my dad was doing the dishes and we were all in the living room trying to keep warm. And she came running down the stairs screaming, and I mean she was crying, she's petrified, and she goes, there's a man upstairs. So my dad instantly thought like there was an intruder, obviously, and he was sort of ready to grab something to, you know. And she was like, no, I'm gonna sound mad, it wasn't a real man, it was and then she explained it, and basically we had this long corridor. And there was three rooms down it. So there was like a laundry room, like just shelves, and we kept washing in. And there was a bathroom. And then at the very end was just a toilet on its own. She was walking to the toilet. She said, and I saw this, I'm getting goosebumps telling it. She said, I saw this man walking towards me. She said, and initially it just came so naturally to me because it's a narrow corridor. I moved to the side as if to say, like, oh, you know, to let him by. And then I realized, oh my God, like, who's that man? She said he was sort of like translucent. And she described him in detail. She said he was wearing a tweed suit. He had a flat cap. He didn't really look at me. He was just like, you know, set on where he was going. She said, and I just turned around and he just vanished. He took a few steps and he just vanished. And she was really, really shaken up. And we were all like, oh my goodness. You know, so me and my dad went upstairs to investigate. Everyone else stayed downstairs. And I was like hiding behind my dad. And we couldn't, nothing, you know, there's nothing out of the ordinary or anything like that, but we were all just really freaked out because we knew she, you know, we hadn't had any drinks at this point and she just wouldn't make it up, and she was crying. I mean, so we were like, oh my God, you know, what's going on? And we were all going to the toilet in pairs all night because we didn't want to walk down this corridor on our own. Wow. So anyway, comes to the next morning, And no, sorry, missed a big part of the story out. Like I said before, the family who owned this property, they had left loads of stuff there. There was stuff everywhere. And they had loads of boxes of, you know, photos. And my mum said, oh, she said, it's a real long shot, but just look through these pictures because, you know, this house has been in this family for like, I don't know, 100 years or something. So just have a look through these. And as she was looking through, she said, I can't believe it. She said, that's the manor I've just seen. And it was like a waist up portrait of this man in a tweed suit. Just as she described him, like sort of grayish hair, bit of a beard, flat cap. She said, and that's what he was wearing. And that she was, you know, burst into tears again. It was all quite emotional. So then it came around to the next morning, and the owner of the property, so she also owned the yard where we kept the horse, and we were friendly with her, and she always bought us, you know, presents and stuff. And she just came around to say hello, give us some gifts. And she looked a bit sort of just upset. And my mum said, are you okay, Rosie? And she said, yeah, we just had, you know, not the best Christmas. My aunt passed away last night, and, you know, it's very sad. And so my mum thought, oh, I wonder if this is, you know, any sort of connection. She's a very old-fashioned lady, so mum didn't want to jump into saying what happened in case she, you know, took it badly. So she got talking to her, and it turned out to be her father's sister, the auntie, so it's on her father's side. And yeah, so my mum ended up telling her what happened, and showed her the photo, and she said, well, that's my father. And she was really just fascinated, to be honest. She took it really well. And my sister saw him at about 8 o'clock, and that's when her aunt had passed away. So that was really, really strange. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was nothing nasty. It was obviously, we came to the conclusion, it was just him, you know, coming to
collect.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it did freak us all out. But that was one of the first things that happened. And yeah, I don't think my sister liked coming to stay after that.
How old was your sister at the time?
I think she was, yeah, she must have been 20 at the time.
Wow.
So yeah, because I remember she had my niece, her daughter at the time. So she would have been, yeah.
So it's not obviously, it's a bit more, I was fine with these types of stories. They hit home a little bit more when it's an adult, I always find. You know, with children, obviously I've got three young kids, and I mean, my kids get scared at creaks on the stairs and things like that. Do you know what I mean? But when it's an adult, it does hit home a little bit more.
Yeah. And like I say, she was really shaken up, by it. And she talks about it to this day. And she's, you know, she said it was just the strangest thing. I just, my instant reaction was, oh, there's a person there. I'll, you know, give him some room to get past me. And then I thought, that shouldn't have happened. So it was crazy. And I mean, there were other things. So there was always a feel in the house. Now I've never seen anything, and I get quite annoyed about that because I'd like to, not in my own house, but I sort of just, I get these feelings, or I'll just get feelings, or I'll hear things, but you know, but I always just got this feeling that there was something not very nice in the house. It just really freaked me out. And my mum she's pretty much fearless to things like this. You know, she's, nothing freaks her out. And my dad was working nights, and she came home one evening, and she went, and I think it was winter, so it was quite dark and it was quite cold. And she went into, bearing in mind there's no heating and there was no fire on because she just got home. And she went upstairs to go into her bedroom. She said she opened the door, and there was this, she said, all I can describe it as is like a black mass in the middle of the room, like a swarm, but it wasn't smoke. And it was very clear and defined. And it was floating between the floor and the ceiling above my bed. She said, and as I opened the door, it was like I'd walked off an airplane into like abroad. She said, the heat that hit me. And I just knew that was evil. She said, and I slammed the door and I ran downstairs. And she actually sat on the front step outside the house with the dog, waiting for my dad to get home, because she was petrified. And she never really thought about it again. She didn't tell me till years later. And it wasn't long ago I was home, And I was speaking to her about it, and I was like, oh, well, just Google this, because, you know, I've sort of heard about things like this and everything. And I mean, I'm sure you have your own theories on it, and she to this day doesn't know what it is. But whatever I read on Google said something along the lines of like a black mass that can be, you know, levitating in the middle of a room, often associated with a warm temperature, is like a sign of a demon. And as soon as I read that, she was just like, stop, I'm freaked out. I can't listen to that. That's horrible. So, yeah, I mean, God knows. But it was, it wasn't nice.
No, I can imagine. And I mean, you know, when you said the warm temperature, that's where my mind went straight away, was to obviously something a little bit more evil than, you know, you do get, there is that feeling of a temperature change when there are spirits around and things like that. There is, that's quite a common conception, but most people will always go with, oh, it was cold, or there was freezing, and you know, they don't really tend to think of the other spectrum,
raising temperature. Yeah. It's normally, yeah, but I mean, I've had that exact thing happen to me. I mean, identical, well, more or less. Really? Well, I didn't open a door, it came from a picture in the wall. But
see, I've never, like I said, my only ever had one encounter with something like that, and I, you know, I got that cold sensation. But I mean, there is that quite common knowledge that with the warmer sensation, it is something a lot more sinister than, you know, whereas, you know, obviously with the story of your sister seeing that man, like, there didn't seem to be any malice in that. He was just going about his
at all,
you know. And a lot of encounters tend to be very, you know, friendly almost. There doesn't seem to be much malice in it, but when you, the darker side to it.
I think we put a lot of emotion on it though, don't we?
Be closer.
I think we put a lot of emotion on it ourselves with the, you know what I mean? Because it's something like, it's not normal. It's unnatural, isn't it? But I mean, you know, what I mean? It's probably a natural occurrence, but we don't see it that often. Okay. Yeah. So it's obviously straight away we're like, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Was this all in one house as well? Like
this all happened, and it's all relating to this property. Yeah.
So what about your dad and you did, I mean, did he see things? Because normally dads are a bit more stoic.
No. So my dad is actually, he's so interested, even more so than my mum, in, you know, the paranormal and stuff. And he's a bit like me. He's like, oh, I never see things. But I get that feeling, and, you know, sort of weird things happen, but I never see things. Whereas my mum just sees things just, you know, all the time. I remember she told me about this time they went to view a house before I was born. And she said there was this lady at the top of the stairs with black eyes just looking at her. And she said, I just knew that woman didn't want me to have this house. But she said, I assumed everyone had seen her. I thought it was a human. And then when I asked, you know, your dad, he was like, Jackie, there was nobody in that entire house. That was just me, you, and the person showing us around. You know, so things like that happen. But my dad's, you know, so interested in it. But nothing really happened to him there, apart from one thing that all of us witnessed or heard. So like I say, me and my sister used to sometimes sleep in the same room. And we were in my room, which was right next to my mum and dad's room, and it must have been like a Sunday morning. We were having a lie-in anyway, and we were woken up by this. So, you know, I said on the third floor that it was just abandoned. It sounded just like, obviously it was wooden floorboards, sounded like somebody dragging furniture across the floor above us. It was that loud. So we instantly thought, oh God, mum and dad are, you know, they're upstairs, and what are they doing? How have they got up there? And we listened for a few minutes. And then we walked into my mum and dad's room, and they were in bed, like sitting up having a cup of tea in bed. And they were like, can you hear that? And we sat there together, and it must have gone on for 20 minutes. And you'd hear something drop and bounce or roll along the floor. And we were like, and my dad was trying to play it down because I was petrified. He was like, oh, it'll just be the rats, you know, because there's rats and, you know, and the walls and stuff. It was that old and run down. And my mum's like, that's not rats. But it was... yeah, it was just, I mean, I can't think of an explanation for that. The noise was so loud. I don't know.
Can't even think.
I mean, something as loud as furniture moving around is...
It was that loud, yeah.
It's, I mean, there is no You know, don't you? If it's furniture moving around, it's furniture moving around. I mean, a breeze can do so much, or a rat can do so much, but yeah. But again, you know, in your dad's situation there, I mean, what's his options? He's got to try and play it down. He don't really want to get out of bed and go and have a look, does he?
No.
No.
I fucking wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we were fascinated, like, but it's scary. And even in the daytime, so in the summer holidays and stuff, I'd be at the stables, you know, with my friends, and my parents would be out at work or whatever. And I'd take a friend with me to go home and get my lunch and make them hold the front door open. And I'd run to the kitchen at the back of the house in broad daylight and run back out with my lunch. And nobody would want to come in with me. And it was just, it was really, really scary, you know. And I remember when we went to look round it, my bedroom, the bedroom that became mine was, there was a crow or a raven, like that sort of bird just flying around the room. And there was no open window. There was no chimney breast in that room. And I remember my dad caught it and let it out. And we were like, it's a bit of an omen, you know. And there had been a death in that room. There'd been the lady died of MS, I believe. I had one strange experience, but it was one of those where I'm like, oh, did I imagine it? When I was a kid, my dad always used to come in before he went to bed and just, you know, check on me like parents do. And my dad would always sort of just, touch my head. And he has like rough, you know, working hands. And this one night I felt this light, like cold touch, like a woman's touch, which I opened my eyes to it because I thought, that's weird. That's not my dad. And my mum doesn't check on me because she goes to bed at the same time as me. And so I opened my eyes and there was nobody there. And I just sort of hid under my duvet and went back to sleep. But that stuck with me because I thought, well, maybe I was dreaming, but, you know, I'm sure I wasn't. But it's one of them strange ones.
Yeah. Do you know the worst bit is that I'm sitting here thinking, this sounds like a really good movie.
Yeah.
But it does. Do you know what I mean? It's got that just all centered around one house and you know, American, obviously, like I say, obviously, a lot of our listeners are American, and you tend to find with Americans, they tend to see these old buildings, and you know, they look at properties that are in America that are sort of, you know, old building in America is 100 years old. I mean, you're talking about a property that may be 600 years old, and the lands have probably been there prior to that. Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's in the Doomsday Book, you're talking that was.
It was probably
I haven't Googled, but it's around the 1400s.
Yeah.
And then the land would.
Oh, really? That early? I thought, yeah, wow.
Yeah. The land prior to that would have been,
there would have been
as far back as.
Chances there was some sort of homestead there before that was built. So,
yeah.
You could be going back
thousands. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I say, I haven't looked it up, but I do remember my dad telling me, and the owner said it was in the Doomsday Book, and my dad looked it up. And he said before the house was there, which in its own right is very old, there were multiple, you know, a few cottages or multiple properties. But there's been a dwelling there for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I also, my sister saw something, my middle sister. I think I mentioned my dad had a studio. You know, he's a musician. And there was an armchair in there. And she walked in one day and saw a woman. I think she said she was wearing a blue dress, but like an old-fashioned attire. And she said she was stood in the armchair so she could see her body. And then when it got to her knees, she was stood like in the armchair so she couldn't see her legs.
So it was almost like it was like a replay where the armchair wouldn't have been there when she was there.
Yeah.
I mean that.
So, it was a very, very beautiful, very odd place with lots of activity.
Yeah, and I've just checked and my history is well out of date because I'm thinking of the Magna Carta, the 1400s. The Doomsday Book was 1086, William the Conqueror. So it's nearly 1,000 years old. So it probably wasn't the same building, but like Lee said, a farmstead or the property would have been around for a very long time, and Suffolk is rich in history. It was the only county really that was in open rebellion to the crown in the English Civil War, things like that. It was the history in that town is amazing, and that county. So it's very, when you're looking at a property that old, just the amount of people that could have lived there. Do you know what I mean? You obviously, in this instance, you've obviously seen someone who would have recently been in the property with the man walking through, but you know, just to think of the amount of spirits that could actually be there. Do you know what I mean? If you're talking about a property that's 1,000 years old, just the massive amount. And, you know, it could even be older than that, because that was the survey done in 1086. You know, the property could have been there for a long time before that. Nothing was ever recorded before then. So
yeah,
it's quite amazing to think. But obviously with these sort of experiences, I'm assuming you didn't stay there for you know, your entire childhood.
No, but that wasn't the reason. I think probably would have done. I think it was
that'd have been my reason.
Yeah, the poor landlady, her mother passed away, so they put the house on the market, and that's sort of when we moved out.
Oh wow!
But yeah, and I think I sent you a picture. I don't know if you've got it, but there's a tree in the picture outside of it, and I can't think of the exact type of tree it is. It's this the type that gets, is it pine tree?
It's going to have a look now.
And that tree was protected, and that. So the dining room, the room that was right next to the tree, to the right of the house, you could see there was the roots were coming up through. The roots were coming through the floor. So there was lumps where you could actually, when you walked on the floor, you could just, the roots were, you know, there right under the carpet. It was like pushing the whole. So it was making the property sort of subside in a way. So I think they had permission when they sold it to get that tree. I don't know if they got it removed or sort of cut some of the roots out and blocked them. But I'd say the tree's pretty old as well.
Did you know anything that happened after you moved out? You know, have you kept in touch with the property or anything like that?
So we went back occasionally to the equestrian centre for competitions and things, and we always caught up with the lovely lady that owned the place. And she sold it. So when we first went to visit her, she said she'd sold it. And my mum asked, you know, do you think they'll mind if we go and have a chat and everything? And she said, yeah, whatever you do, just don't mention the things that happened in there, because the wife is absolutely petrified. So my mum didn't. But she looked around, and they'd actually, I don't know how many changes they made, because obviously with it being listed, but they managed to move the staircase. And it just, the place looked gorgeous. They'd done loads of work to it. But they moved out, they sold it. And I don't think anybody really knows why. Maybe they just did it up and wanted to sell it, or if there was a reason. And then when it resold, we went back, you know, we were there one day, and we asked again, oh, you know, how's the house and everything? And she said, well, I think, you know, the new owners are, you know, they love it, but they've had to have an exorcism because things got quite bad. And she didn't really elaborate on that. And my mum didn't want to sort of dig too much, because she didn't look like she really wanted to discuss it. And I do believe it failed, and they had another one. And I don't know what the result of that was, and I haven't been back since.
You tend to find with renovation tends to stir up a lot of, you know, dormant energy, if you like. So you'll find that people knock a wall out or something like that, then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose.
Literally.
So maybe, you know, them renovating the place to do it up, you know, they just add another
something a bit more.
But I mean, in England you are supposed to declare if your house is haunted.
Oh really?
I never knew that.
You can
I didn't know that.
Lose your thing if you don't, like, and all that.
But that's almost admitting. I mean, I can't imagine our government would admit things like that even existed.
There you go.
That's quite cool. I mean, again, with exorcisms, I mean, I always find them very topical, but I find them very strange, because if you're not religious, then would it even work?
It don't matter. It's about energy. It's about Like, you know, like if you've got a ghost in your house and they're bugging you and you just say, like, just leave me alone today. You know, I've had enough of that. And they'll go away.
Yeah.
You know, for a period of time. And then they might come back. But it's all about energy.
Mm.
You know, and same with the exorcism. It's the same thing. It's not really relevant, you know, if it's a crucifix, if it's beads, if it's salt, if it's just the energy. It's the energy of actually you putting a barrier, you know, between you and them. Obviously, if you've got one that's not very happy, it's never happened to me, to be fair. Every time I've always gone into somewhere or my house or whatever, and I've said, you know, just leave me alone for a period, not forever necessarily, because I don't know. I mean, they might have more right to the place than me, but yeah. Just for a period of time, you know, just leave me alone. Like when I'm trying to get to sleep, yeah, and there's bottles flying around the room or cables being pulled, or and I'm like, just not tonight, you know what I mean? And it stops.
Yeah.
But then it might come back with a bit of vengeance a few days later, but it stops for that period. And I think it's more about the emphasis you're putting on something rather than who's doing it.
The religious side to it, yeah.
Generally speaking. Because you could be talking about people, if you're going back, you know, like thousands of years and you've got a spirit that's 1,000 years old, it ain't necessarily going to know about this or that, you know. Might not even speak English.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Depending where you are, you go to Wales.
I mean, I just remember being quite shocked because obviously I sort of thought that was, I've seen it in films and stuff, and I was like, my God, an exorcism. I didn't,
I've
never heard of it being done. So I thought, how bad must things have got? Because, you know, we were petrified, but we were nowhere near, you know, doing that.
That's what I say about the renovation, though. I mean, they could have really stayed some dormant things up.
They could have just been wusses. You know, you as a family could have just been a lot more open to it. Yeah. I mean, you know, like if you go in there, I mean, the man walking down the hallway, I mean, that's enough to freak most people out. But that black energy, that to me would have been the point where I'd have gone, right, that's it, I'm out, gone. And obviously you as a family sort of, all right, you didn't really talk about it very much. I mean, she said your mum didn't really talk about it that much, but that would have been for you to actually just go, okay, well, that's happened, let's move on. You know, maybe you dealt with it, and maybe, you know, the next family saw the same thing and absolutely crapped their pants and went, right, that's it, we're calling someone in, you know. And it I suppose it's how people deal with it. And
Has anything,
I mean, this might sound completely out there, but has anything like attached itself to you or anyone who lived in that house? So you tend to find that people have these experiences in a property and these entities can sort of manifest. Rare, yeah. But it does happen, you know, or has it sort of all stopped?
No, it sort of just stopped, really. When we moved out, I mean, we ended up moving into another property from there, which was a 2 up, 2 down, so massive difference in size, and that in itself was a bit strange. But I don't think it was anything that, you know, followed us as such. But my sister just remembers in that house seeing a maid in our room every night, and she'd always, because we had to share a room, and she had the bottom bunk, and she'd always wake up in mine, and she said she'd see the bottom of this woman going past. And that really freaked her out. And then my dad always used to bring my mum a cup of tea in the morning, and she felt this weight on the end of the bed in the morning, so she opened her eyes to sit up thinking it was my dad with her tea, and it was this woman that my sister described. But I think that was attached to that property. I think it was a separate thing.
That may be it. That just that made my hair stand up. That.
So the ghost, the maid that brought a cup of tea to your dad?
No.
Huh?
No. Her dad would normally bring a cup of tea.
Oh, and the maid.
So she assumed that the person sat on the end of the bed was her husband, but it obviously wasn't
the maid.
Yeah.
I've heard stories like that before where the you feel the bed move and you feel that there's someone on the bed.
Yeah.
Well, that just made me hair stand up. That was.
But it seems to be my mum seems to be, and, you know, she doesn't go looking for it, but she just must be really open to that kind of thing. Because, like I say, I've never seen anything, even in Newton Hall. I mean, I would have been petrified if what my mum and my sister saw I think I'd have made the move out myself because I couldn't have, honestly, I'd love to see something like that, but just not in my own home because I couldn't sleep at night. But yeah, it was a fantastic place, but very, very scary. And yeah, just, and I mean, there was lots of other times when there was just weird noises and, you know, and doors would open and I'd be like, oh, it's the wind and just weird things like that, really. Which I put, I always rationalized them.
We do.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. But I mean, looking back, it was, yeah, it was strange.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? That it seems to be more your mom and your sister that seem to get the things going on, and then you and your dad are sort of left out. It does seem to be some sort of, like, I don't know. I mean, you could say genetics, but then you'd think you would all, obviously not your dad, but you know, the two girls would. So it's,
they pick and choose, don't they?
Something going on.
You know, maybe.
Because you're not exactly, it's not like you're not open-minded to it, is it? It's not like,
oh no,
you know, you're closed off and then she's not. You both got the same, but one of your seeds.
I mean, maybe
more.
It would just petrify me and I'd die on the spot. Maybe there's a reason for it.
It could just
maybe
be
I'm not
chance,
made to see that kind of thing.
Right place,
but yeah,
right time.
That's it.
You could have just been the lucky one that didn't see it, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, that incident that you had in the bed where you felt a hand on your head. I mean, that to me, that's a pretty.
Yeah.
You know, so you did have certain things. I mean, that could have been something as simple as, you know, you not opening your eyes at the exact time and maybe a couple of seconds after and it had gone, or, you know, if you'd have opened your eyes just before that had happened, and what would you have seen that? Do you know what I mean? That sort of.
Yeah.
A thought of, you know, you obviously had some form of experience there. And again, that hearing the furniture being moved around, and, you know, when you were saying that your mum and dad went to have a look at another property and she saw something that he didn't, that again, you know, you have these things where people will hear things that other people don't hear. So the fact that you all heard the same thing again was it's a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? It's definitely quite
And an old lady at the top of the stairs with black eyes is definitely an omen not to buy an house.
Bloody.
Yeah. I mean, that was a really strange one because obviously that wasn't in Newton Hall. It was a different property, which in Liverpool, actually. But it was strange because my mum said it was winter and this woman was in shorts and, you know, summer wear. And she said, but she looked just like a human, completely normal. And the man showing the man was actually the owner. So my mum asked at the end, she said, oh, is it just you and your wife here? And he said, oh, no, it's empty. You know, my wife's passed away. But mum was so convinced that she saw that woman that she thought, well, it must be someone. So then when they got into the car, she said to my dad, you did see that woman as we walked in at the top of the stairs. And he was adamant that there was absolutely nobody in there. And she said, well, we're not buying that house. And dad was a bit annoyed because he really liked it. And so did mum. But no, she said, no, we're not. We'll give that one a miss.
Yeah, I think I'd have given that a wide berth. I mean, the fact that you said Liverpool, I'd have given it a wide berth anyway. But I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love Liverpool. I mean, I was there a few weeks ago at a hotel called the Adelphi. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's quite famous. It used to be, I can't say how old it is because I can't quite remember. It used to be like very A-list celebrities and like stars would stay there, and it was a real high-end place. And they've really let it get run down now. I think it's like 3-star and it's a bit run down, but it's worth going just because of it's so beautiful. And also meant to be really haunted. But I sadly didn't see anything this time or hear anything or feel anything.
I do like me haunted buildings. So,
yep.
Well,
but Liverpool's meant to be.
Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your tales.
Thank you for having me.
The house itself, I mean, it's obviously, if it's great, it's a grade one building, it should still be standing, is it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, and again, like you say, you can't really do too much to them buildings. You know, they've probably still got a lot of the old features will still be there because they just don't let you touch them, do they?
No. For those of you in America who don't know, we have listed build. I don't know if they have listed buildings in America, but you know, we have that. There are certain types of buildings, anything from farmyards. We've got a dock building at Grimsby that's absolutely falling to bits.
Falling down,
The you know, there's no roof on it, all the structure's gone,
but
and it's grade one listed, they can't touch it. Yeah. So you know, we have buildings like that they just fall into disrepute and there's nothing that can be done about
historical,
them.
So
they won't touch them. Yeah. So
somebody
for have a grade one building that people are living in means that it's extremely old. It's got some serious history behind it. So, yeah. I mean, are we allowed to put the picture that you sent? Are we allowed to put that onto the group? Or
Yeah.
So, obviously, for those of you listening, we are going to put a picture up, and you know, you can see this house. And to be honest, it just looks like a quaint little farmhouse. It doesn't look anything out of the ordinary that you'd see in a British countryside. You know, most people probably have an idea of what a British cottage looks like. Yeah. I would say it's.
But then, if I drove past it, I would think that's probably haunted.
No, I don't think I would. I don't think I'd give it a second look. You know, it's a beautiful building, absolutely gorgeous. But I would say it's similar to majority of British farm. You know, type of houses.
Sort of style.
I don't think I'd go and go, oh, yeah, that's definitely haunted. But
I would.
I certainly wouldn't have spent more than a night in it after that. But
I've just remembered the owner did actually, and we were only kids at the time, like I say, when we moved in, but she did say to us, and I don't know if she was winding us up, but she said, if you go three steps up on the stairs, that's the warm stair. If you ever want to warm up, it's really warm on that step, always really warm. And I remember thinking, that's a strange thing to say. But she always used to say, if you stand on the third step, it's always really warm.
And what was did you try?
I did, but I can't say I thought it was warm, but I mean, there must be a reason why she said that.
Yeah.
Could be the water pipe just runs through that step. Maybe. It's something really simple, but...
Yeah.
Or it could be where... Like,
fucking third step, demon!
Yeah, that could be the demon step, you know.
Yeah.
But, it's amazing.
I'd like to see that pantry, though, with all the, you know, the food in there from
it was incredible.
That sounds like my nana's pantry is kind of like that.
It was just shelves. The whole thing was just shelves with obviously cupboards underneath of just jars of food and food in packets. And
the old tins.
Some of it dated before the war, yeah. We had to order a skip to just, and that didn't even touch the sides, you know, clearing stuff out.
And same with the furniture, you know, when you had the furniture, I'd love to have gone up there and just see if, like, you could see, like, the trails and the dust and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's staircase.
I probably would now. Back then, obviously, I was. But if that happened to me now, I'd be very curious. It was, strange. First thing in the morning as well. Very strange.
Yeah, it does seem a bit weird to sort of have that stuff during the daytime. I mean, obviously, I'm quite new to this paranormal. I've had my own experiences and things like that, but I'm quite new to this sort of idea, and to think that. You always think it happens at night, don't you? Do you know what I mean? You just that ghosts nighttime, you know, and that's probably Hollywood that's done that, but you do have this tendency to think that all of these things that happen are happening at nighttime. And, you know, there's a prime example of something quite freaky, or very freaky actually. And it's happening the first thing in the morning, you know, when the sun's up. So that throws a different wheel out there, doesn't it, for people? So
and normally things sort of would scare me at night time. You know, even in this house I'm in now, noises can scare me at night time, but in the day, nothing. But like I said, at that house, even in the daytime, it petrified me. It was just very spooky all the time.
yeah sounds fun.
Absolutely. It would be nice to go there.
Yeah, well, I think I'd go and I want to see the third floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I often wonder if, I mean, I'd imagine they've made something of it now, if they can.
I would have thought so.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. But yeah, thank you.
Can't really go and knock on the door and ask, though, can you?
Not really. No.
No.
A bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think people would be very happy about that.
But yeah. But what can you do? But yeah, again, you know, thank you very much for for sharing the stories. And, you know, there must be a lot of people listening must have had similar experiences. You know, I don't think that these paranormal things are as uncommon as we sort of think.
No.
Obviously the ridicule side of things stops people from,
yes, from majorly
talking about it, but maybe they happen a bit more, and not just paranormal, but, you know, like the cryptid things and, you know, UFO. I mean, UFOs are, like, we was talking about this the other day, but UFOs are quite commonplace now. Most people will have seen something strange. But again, we're no close to sort of unraveling the mystery of what ghosts are, are we? And, that does make me wonder.
I know I'm going a bit off topic. I'm sure you can edit this out because it's actually a UFO related thing. But it was in this house, right? And I was, for some weird reason, I have this thing. I just, on a clear night, I sleep with my curtains open because I can see the stars and I just love it. So I was just, and I struggled to sleep. So I was just looking at the sky like that. And I saw this light and it was really bright and it was going up really, really slowly. And I thought it was a drone. I was intrigued though. I thought, perfectly straight line going right up as far as I could see. So I put my head against the window and then it went almost like over the house. So I couldn't see it anymore. And I thought nothing more of it. And I carried on looking out the window and then really quickly, like shooting star speed, it came back down. I mean, I'm assuming it was the same thing because it was the exact same size, the exact same brightness, came down really quickly. And I mean, not as if it was just falling, like there was power behind it. It was shooting and it went straight down to behind the tree line until I couldn't see it anymore. So I assume it was the same light I'd seen. And I thought, I've never seen anything like that. And I mean, there could be a logical explanation. I don't know much about, there could be something out there that, I don't know, type of drone or something, but I found it very, very odd. And I told my friend and she was a bit freaked out, but I said, how weird is that? One of the nights I choose to look out, you know, the window and I would just, and that happened within minutes.
I mean, I was drawn to the window one time and I saw a shooting star and it was really weird because, again, I sleep with the curtains open. But this is when I was about maybe 12, 13, something like that. I mean, we're still in bunk beds, probably more like 25, but we're still in bunk beds. So must have been about that age, maybe even younger. But for whatever reason, I woke up and I was drawn to the window and I walked to the window and I saw this really bright shooting star, not similar to what you saw, but I mean, this was a shooting star. And I thought, you know, was I meant to see that? Was there a reason why, you know, I just woke up in the middle of the night and went to the window? I mean, who does that? But yeah. But then as I turned my head, there was a being sat on the roof. So, you know, maybe, I don't know if the shooting star was a coincidence and it was the being that woke me up. But the only way I described it at the time, because the only way I could describe it to my friends what I saw was, remember Shredder from the Turtles movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a creature. It was hunched over and it was obviously looking, and I couldn't make out its features of its face. I could only make out its eyes and it looked like Shredder's helmet. Do you know what I mean? It was.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to my friends and I've just seen Shredder, but I was like, yeah, whatever. But again, you know, it's like you said, you know, I was drawn to the window. This thing was there. I mean, is it coincidence? But then you ask yourself, how often are these things there? We're not looking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I suppose we don't spend a lot of time looking at the sky generally, do we? I mean,
no.
There'll be a lot we miss.
Absolutely. But, I was saying to you one the other day, like if you spend a couple of hours, I know it's a bit sad, but if you spend a couple of hours just looking at the night sky, you'll see something weird.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. Haven't they come out with some sort of statement, NASA, about aliens or?
Well, the Pentagon
in 2020, it was 2020,
was it?
Yeah, I only remember because it was the year that Donald Trump lost the election, and you would have thought that if it wasn't for Donald Trump that year, NASA telling everyone that aliens exist would have been the biggest news of the year. But America in absolute turmoil happens to be the biggest news of the year. But they just basically just came out and went, oh yeah, these things exist and we can't do anything about it. And you're like, okay, is that it? You know?
Yeah, but
why is this not being...
There's a big difference.
Yeah, I've only heard about this recently, you know.
Mm. Yeah,
I've tried to Google it and I can't find anything really that tells me.
I'll send you some stuff to look at.
Yeah. I just watched the latest American Horror Story.
Such a dick.
I'm sorry, we're gonna have to. You're such a dick.
Yeah, have another drink, Lee.
Control yourself.
I was okay until you started laughing. I've just finished the American Horror Story, the most recent series, and it's I don't know if you ever watch it, but it's about.
I've not seen the newest series.
So the newest one, it basically, I think it was set back in when Roosevelt was president. It was on about. It's basically just, you know, like they do, telling us everything in plain sight about Area 51 and everything. But it's, yes, you should watch it. It's good.
We're just going to do that, aren't we? We're going to do the, because was it Roosevelt or might have been Reagan as well? It might have been both of them, actually. It was meant to have met with aliens.
Oh, I know Reagan
that's,
was.
That's in the series. Yeah. They do. They meet and they sign a, like a treaty to say that you can abduct so many humans.
Yeah.
In exchange if you for give technology. Technology.
Yeah.
And then they're doing it under the White House and he wasn't happy with it. So he said, look, I'm going to designate you a bit of land. And it's Arizona? Yeah. Is that where?
Yeah, it's out in New Mexico.
Area 51.
And he said, I'll call it Area 51 and you can have it. And just strange that they would put it in a series. And
They're very close to the wind, aren't they? That American Horror Story, some of the stuff they've done.
Like a Rono.
They did the voodoo one. That was freaky. And then they did, God, I can't remember her name. She was a slave owner in New Orleans and she just used to torture her slaves. Oh, Madam.
Yes.
Yeah, Delphine. She was real. Like,
I know, yeah.
I'm going to cover an episode on her. Then we'll do it. I'm going to do an episode on her.
I'll have to watch that because I have watched a lot of the other ones and I did like them.
Yeah, they are good. They are good.
What was the first one? Was that the circus one?
No.
The freak show?
No, the freak show was the third, I think. The first one was the haunted house.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember is that the girl with Down syndrome going, you're going to die in there. That stuck with me. I mean, we used to do that. You don't have to edit that because that's what she sounds like. But we used to do it. I used to go past, past houses with the missus and I go, you're going to die in there. It's like, shut up.
It's good. But no, that Roosevelt thing, that, and I think Reagan as well, that is meant to have happened in actual reality.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy the things they put in films, isn't it?
Mm.
Whether it's true.
Well, who's going to do it?
I would love to know who was it? It was a Canadian guy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And he said, you know, that he came out and in their Congress or whatever they call it, and he just said, you know, that there are aliens, here.
I think it was Disclosure that he was at.
Well, I don't know what it is, but he said there are aliens that exist. They're on the planet now. He said they're here. Some of them work in the government. He said, you know, they're here. And then you've not really heard anything from him since.
I know he's been about, they've done a couple of series on him and Prime or whatever.
But he was, you know, he was in a position of authority, so it's almost like, I mean, if Boris Johnson came out and said it, you'd just go, you're just a drunk. But at least when it's someone who has a little bit of authority, I think you probably...
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Went a bit off topic there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all interesting.
It is, yeah. It is, definitely.
And who knows, it all could be relevant.
Never know.
Yeah.
Does it make you more religious or not than seeing all these things?
I'd never have said I'm particularly religious, so...
No, me neither.
I really struggle with it. I mean, I think a faith is good, and I think sometimes people need it, and I kind of wish I was a bit more into religion, but I just struggle with faith a little bit. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing confuses me, really, because obviously... I would assume a priest performs an exorcism. So then you would think, well, they obviously, they're acknowledging that there's spirits and an afterlife by doing that. So I don't really know. It's a very blurred line, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they'll say they're actually sort of exercising the the person rather than necessarily a ghost, if you like. But it depends who you talk to. But obviously we have baptism as well, and that's kind of the same thing. You know, where you're sort of...
I got no time for modern religions.
No, but it's like seeing these weird things. Sometimes that's why I asked the question, because sometimes people go, you know, there's got to be more to this than this. But, you know, for me, it was the opposite. And like you said there, it was kind of like, yeah, it didn't really make me more religious. It made me sort of less, not less, I couldn't be any more less religious. But it didn't have that. As some people, it does. It has a profound effect on them where they go, oh, you know, this is...
See, I would say things like this, were that, you know, stories like this where you talk, I mean, and I would include the alien side to things as well. You know, anyone who knows me, I'm pagan. So what I would say, don't roll your fucking eyes just because you're not religious. But a lot of these things you can link to paganism more than you can to modern religion. So I tend to lean more that way.
So it's real then.
Yeah. Yeah, I would go that far as saying it's real.
Yeah,
there are various realms and things like that all exist.
I mean, I don't think you can have a, you know, there's a light without a dark, can you? There has to be, you know, if there's demons and Satan and things, there has to be something godly, doesn't there, surely? And I've always liked the idea of angels and things. I just struggle with sort of working it all out, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I find it very interesting. Yeah.
It is. But again, you know, like I said, thank you for coming on and sharing. And hopefully, like I say, there's other people out there that have come across some of this, and, you know, they'll be more happy to share after hearing your tales. So,
yeah, I hope so. Thank you for having me.
It's been our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that interview, and thank you again to Natalie for coming on tonight. If you've had a strange experience that you'd like to share with us, then, like I said before, the email is supernaturalpod@gmail.com. As you may have gathered, our microphones are playing up. I did post this on our Facebook group. If you can help us out, we do have a GoFundMe tip jar. So if you could put if everyone listening can put a shilling in there, then obviously we'll be able to get some great mics. There is other ways to help us out. People want to donate via PayPal, those sorts of things. So if you want to do that, contact us. But other than that, go to the description. You'll find the tip jar in there. And like I say, if you can drop a shilling in there, bloody hell, we'll be grateful. Thank you very much for being here tonight. And we'll see you on the other side.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.